Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
8:04 this morning, your Houston Astros come from behind, get one in the ninth, one in the tenth. Jose Altuve dashes home off of third base on a shallow pop-out that the second baseman fielded about 10 feet behind second base in the outfield. And Jose Altuve, in his own words, bad play, good result, as the ball short-hopped the catcher, and the catcher couldn't hang on, couldn't handle it, and Jose Altuve scored what became the winning run. Astros now six games under 500, but trying to claw their way back. The Spurs made it a series. They end up good start. Knicks come back, take the lead by halftime, but the Spurs close the gap pretty quickly, and then really controlled that game in the fourth quarter. Spurs, it got close. It got, I think it was tied up at one point, but then the Spurs extended. Every time the Knicks had an answer, the Spurs had another answer. And they end up winning that one. Now goes to a game four with the Knicks up 2-1. So we'll see how that one plays out. But it is fun having that one. One of the things that came out of that game was the push. There's two things that are really memorable about this. One happened at halftime. One happened in the game.
Right.
In the first half. The one that happened in the first half was Victor Wembanyama. There was a pick he was setting on Jalen Brunson. And then Jalen was just standing. I don't even think he was being picked. It was just kind of, he was next to him. And Wembanyama grabs him by the head and just pushes him, like just shoves him down towards the ground.
And nothing.
And then Wembanyama, first of all, gets away with a lot.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, he's got a little edge to him. Wemby, this has happened multiple times. Wemby has a little edge for being a skinny stick guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's bowling people over. And some of them are not good. But he is not afraid. Remember, he put the code red at the end of the game, making sure McClain got lit up at the end of one of the Oklahoma City games.
He sent his two bigs in there and said hard fouls. Yep, at least that's what the NBC said he said.
Jared McCain, yeah. And then, but listen, and they ain't afraid. There's a couple of times that Spurs have come baseline and just bowled Jalen Brunson over.
Yeah, this time it was Harper. Like, they've done that. They did it to
Shea. Castle did it once.
Carter Bryant did it to Shea twice in the previous series.
Yeah.
So they are, look, as much as he's this spectacular force, I don't think as this goes on, people are actually going to like the personality that he shows.
Because
he's a
either.
Killer. He's a killer.
Just because
he's thin and he's French, people are like, oh, look at his little wonder that
right.
is out there. He's a killer.
You guys got
people
a lot
are
of,
not going to like it.
He's got a lot of ship in his neck,
yeah.
as we say.
Yeah.
He is a really edgy player, and he doesn't fit the mold of a fun little French tall guy. He's got the attitude and the mentality of somebody who is a killer.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to be an all-time great. I'm sorry. It's a common feature with all-time
greats. Sometimes
he
does it stupidly. Like,
well,
he ran over Shea.
Well, he's tall, so he's giant. He can't get away with stuff. And he's 22. Yeah. He'll figure out the dark arts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he risked being suspended in a playoff
yeah,
game,
right.
in an
yeah.
important
the,
playoff
the,
game.
The elbow
probably
to the
would have Listen, been if it had been any other
next
year.
Time he throws an elbow like that, he's going to get suspended.
Well, Brunson,
because he's starting to get a reputation.
Well, I think I saw a couple people say that the Brunson one that he got Brunson with yesterday could be upgraded to a flagrant one, which would mean he'd be 1 point away from a suspension. So it may not happen. They may just not want to deal with it.
No.
But if they do. It'll be something you'll have to figure out. He's just all he wants to do is win, and he's not about doing it whatever polite way you think should be. He plays for the Spurs, and that's all he cares about. And if you're in the way, he'll move you out of the way if he's got to, and that's just gonna be what we deal with as long as his body holds up for the next 10, 12 years, whatever mm-hmm. it'll be.
All right, so that was in the first half. What about halftime? Here is, at halftime, Cardi B is performing, and she's got like a bustier on. She's mm-hmm. got like a, it looks like some like negligee a little bit, in which she's got a lot of cleavage and stuff going on while she's singing.
It wasn't terrible.
No. It's not, nobody said anything derogatory.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Chuck made an observation that I think probably a lot of people would agree with.
Knicks up 7, looking for a 3-0 lead. We've been competing with Cardi B here. We lost. Hey, I don't know if those B's. That might be Cardi D's. I sure am, new lover. I'm pretty sure it all about B. I don't know who said that, but I know it wasn't Chuck.
Chuck, you little dick. You can't get to me, can't talk to you.
You got the wrong initials.
Cardi D's.
I don't think those are B's. Those are D's. Cardi D's. Yeah, Chuck is the best. He is an institution.
Did you hear what Shaq was saying to Wembanyama pushing Jalen Brunson? They said, oh, he didn't need it. First of all, please get... So Draymond's trying to be cool Draymond now. He's trying to dress up. He's trying to always smile and like, hey, see, I'm lovable Draymond. Look at me. I'm harmless. I'm not gonna... He's trying to rebrand himself again so he can make TV money. Get him off of that set. Anyway, Shaq, who was another bully, he was a known, an avowed, and a proud bully when he played. Because he's the biggest guy. He, you know, it's just like, I'm going to take advantage of this. And he had that attitude. The Brunson getting his head pushed by Wimby, he's like, I love that. We're going to whip his ass. Get his ass out of there. His whole thing was, that's great. That's how you treat those little guys on the court. Mm-hmm. That's how you treat them. And Kenny's like, no, you don't do that. Yeah, you do. Bust his ass up. Bust him up. Like, that's how Shaq, but.
That's how they played.
Shaq legitimately believes that. Yeah. But that's how you do.
That's how you play.
Little guys.
Back in the day, come across the middle, little guy, and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You're going to get your head taken off by one of the big guys.
There was a physical element, too.
Even
it was kind of running gun 80s, there was still a physical element. And in the 90s, it just turned into just DOS effects. It was just all straight from the sewer basketball. Grimy 70s and 80-point games where you dribble out half the shot, most of the shot clock, and you're getting hand-checked and... That the biggest difference between 90s basketball, a lot of times when people talk about, well, the 90s. So I don't know if you've seen this, but there is the first like five possessions or four possessions of the Bulls versus the Jazz and in the championship series. And everyone points to that. This basketball is terrible. Y'all think Jordan and blah, blah, blah. What a lot of people, young people don't understand is that for some reason, basketball in the 90s, it's like they would just kill off the first 14 seconds of the shot clock. It's like the first 14 seconds of the shot clock, they didn't care. They weren't even looking for baskets. And somewhere along the line, teams started to realize they would call it, quote unquote, early offense, where you played a little faster. It was considered a bad shot if you shot inside the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. Remember that? Like,
yeah.
You're rushing it. You need to keep moving the ball around. Look for the best shot. Look for the best shot. And then teams started to figure out, sometimes the best shot is early in the shot clock. And now the game is played at pace. Like, it's not a big deal to shoot with 14 seconds on the shot clock. If you get the ball up the court and you get an open look, you're shooting. Because, A, they're better shooters, and, B, there's just a desire to shoot earlier in the shot clock. It's not considered a, you know, where you've got to move the ball for this amount of time until there's 3 seconds left on the shot clock, then you're forced into a bad shot. So now the game is played at a much faster pace. They didn't play that way in the 90s. It was about... Literally, you ate up doing nothing but getting hand-checked 30 feet from the basket. So that's one of the primary differences between 90s basketball and what you see now is that the pace, they're allowed to play faster. The coaches tried to micromanage every – like the Cleveland Cavaliers had a team that was a really talented team, and Mike Fratello would have them play the slowest brand of basketball I ever saw. He wanted to win the last 8 seconds of every possession on offense or defense. And it was like, dude, it's like winning scores were 83-76.
Yeah.
It was horrific.
Yep.
And that was in the 90s.
We got a 115-111 game last night, which was the highest scoring
first
game.
First over.
The first time it hit over.
First yeah. over.
First over was in New York in a must-win game for the Spurs. Spurs, you got to give them credit. You got to give them credit. They stepped up after frittering away. They needed that game, too. And Wemby fell apart in the final seconds. De'Aaron Fox with probably the biggest basket of his career when it was a two-point game. He hit that little jumper in about right just inside the free throw line. And that put him up by four, and that was it. And the game was over. But that was huge that he took that shot. There is a question. Well, I mean, who is Robin on this team? Who's Robin? Is it De'Aaron Fox or is it Castle?
I think it's Castle. I think it's Castle is definitely Robin. And he's like a Pippen style Robin. He's really good. I think he's I'm a big fan of Castle's. I think that dude has like I said before, I see some Kawhi in him where he is fearless. On any other team, he's got the mentality of a one. And I'm a big fan of his as a basket. Just watching basketball, I'm not a big fan of his as a Rockets fan.
As a Rockets guy, no.
As a Rockets fan, I'm not a big fan of.
Do you agree with me? It would be better for the Spurs to win, so Wemby's got his title, and we don't have to worry about him being hungry anymore.
I think he's going to be pretty hungry.
Let the appetite. He'll just want to. Keep I think he wants to be the
best. I think he wants to be the best.
This is not a
played.
Guy who's going to. Oh, I got one.
I can shut it down.
Nope. That's not
what I'm done.
No, then he's thinking, I'm going after seven. I'm going to beat Jordan.
Why wouldn't I want to keep winning? I like this feeling.
And they're young. And that freaking team is young. I need them with some doubt. I need somebody to plant some doubt in their heads. Yeah. Even if they don't win, they're going to come back hungrier next year. I don't see this as a team. And that coach needs a lot of love, too. He's got them playing like dogs. They were just very loose yesterday. Man, that was an impressive win for the Spurs all the way around. Wembanyama came back and battled through. Dylan Harper was 1 of 8 from three. It didn't really have an impact on him. He just kept playing through. Have you looked at Brunson's numbers? Very quietly, Brunson's got some bad shooting numbers. Yesterday he was 11 of 25, which counts as good for him. He was 3 of 5 from three. So yesterday was his best. He scored 32. The game before, 7 of 24. The game before that, 12 of 31. Those were in wins. The game before that, the elimination game where they blew out Cleveland, 6 of 14. The game before that, 10 of 19, 7 of 16, 15 of 29. But from the three-point line against Cleveland, he was 1 of 6, 1 of 7, 0 of 4, 2 of 5. In this series, he's been 2 of 9, 2 of 8, and then 3 of 5. He's shot 31.8% from three so far this and 30 from three, 37% from the field in their games against San Antonio. That's something to keep an eye on. Because he is not, over his last, four games, he has shot 81, 95 shots, and he has made 36. He's 36 and 95 over his last four games. Not shooting all that well. His turnover count?
Seems like he makes every basket.
But listen to this. His assist to turnovers. This is Jalen Brunson. And I want to bring this up to counterbalance even what I've been involved in, which is, deifying the great Jalen Brunson, which he deserves making baskets in the fourth quarter of big games, right? Here's his assist to turnovers, John. Last game, 5 to 5. The game before, in a close win, 105 to 104. 6 assists, 4 turnovers. The game before that, 2 assists, 4 turnovers. His assist to turnovers right now is 13 to 13. In this series, that's not good enough.
He doesn't pass it enough. That's three games he's passed it 13 times, or 26 times.
Yeah,
that ain't a lot for a guy who's got the ball in his hands all the time.
Well, you still have guys make the shots that he passes.
Yeah, them. True.
Yeah,
that too. If in fact he's getting set.
Yeah,
for
and it's been
baskets.
lower scoring games. Yeah. I mean, they scored 105 in each of those first two games.
Yeah, I mean that's not his deal. His deal is. It just seems like he makes every basket. I don't know.
No, but he doesn't.
But in clutch,
shooting in the 30s.
In clutch, in fourth quarter, he does. Go look at his fourth quarter numbers and see how much different they are than his shooting.
Yeah, he's been – well, the whole team has been really clutch.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, 818 ESPN, 97.5, 7378, 0376. where you're going to watch games, where you're going to watch the World Cup, where you're going to watch whatever game you want to watch, Taquerias.
Taquerias Hernandez. And when you're going to watch those World Cup games over there, you better make sure that you get there early so you can get – look, the veteran move is getting your food. You eat your food. You eat your lunch. You eat your dinner whenever you're going to watch your games. That's the veteran move, is to have that plate out of your way, and then you got your beer right there with you. You got your margarita right there. You got your whatever your cocktail of choice is going to be, or maybe you're just drinking your iced teas. That's fine too if that's what you choose to do. I'm just telling you, the games are going to be on at Taquerias Hernandez. Locations all over the city of Houston. You have no excuse not to stop in and enjoy their delicious, authentic Mexican food. For breakfast, for lunch, or dinner, they are open. But just know this, they plan on having parties there when it's time to watch World Cup. So no matter the game, stop in and enjoy World Cup action and great food and drinks in a great atmosphere at Taquerias Hernandez, locations all over the city of Houston. Find one and stop in starting Thursday with the World Cup.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on the ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, the number if you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5. I'm seeing so many arguments about this Brendan Sorsby thing. I can certainly see now the ruling included where there could be no reciprocation by anyone towards Texas Tech University. So they can't be punished for having Brendan Sorsby on their team.
What do you mean punished?
Like the NCAA not allowing them or
into like the playoff or something?
Into the playoff.
Well,
or
does the NCAA even control the playoff?
No. CFP, well, the college. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's something
else. What the
else,
hell does
right?
NCAA, the NCAA do? Yeah. That's why
the NCAA doesn't do anything, yeah. Actually, except collect money off the basketball.
They really do need to become an antitrust situation. They really do.
They do.
I mean, they have to have something. You got to look. I get frustrated listening to people who think this is an all or nothing situation, and it's not. This isn't about people trying to take money away from the players. Relax. This is about putting some guardrails up. There needs for the good of the sport for everyone. I'm saying this because if you want this to be in place for players to be able to, you know, make money for what they're doing, and you should want this available for all players. You should want this available for golfers or women's basketball or whatever to get a little, you know, higher stipends. You should want this available for all. What is going to happen? And I know everyone thinks there's this unending flow of money. What's going to happen is there are certain schools that don't have this money. They don't. They don't have the money for the rev share. They don't make enough money. There's people don't go to their games. They don't go. And this is, instead of just being able to keep, and no one's talking about making a bunch of money over there. They're just talking about keeping their programs functioning. What's going to happen is if this keeps going in this direction with no guardrails, there's no rules, there's no regulations, there's no nothing, it just means it's going to keep growing faster and faster out of control. And there's not going to be any safety nets for different schools out there that are not considered the highest tier one schools, and they're going to fall off the map. And you're going to have people, you're going to have young people who no longer have certain sports at those schools. We should be able to have a system where it works for a multitude of people in college athletics. It should be there. There's, as long as you don't try to just strangle the golden goose to death, it should be there. But what's happening is, and we're just 2 years from private equity being in college football, which there's going to be a lot of people who love that, but it is going to come at a price. And the price is going to be, there's going to be a small number of teams who are going to be able to be in that pie. And the rest of them, you're going to have, while you're cheering for a rotating group of players at 40 or 50 schools, the rest of them are going to get squeezed out because they're not going to be part of the revenue pie. They're not going to be part of that. There's not going to be great TV deals for those games. Those games are meaningless. Once you look at bowl games, no one cares about bowl games anymore. Nobody cares.
Except not, the coaches that get bonuses or can brag that they made bowl games.
They're the only ones. Yeah. Because TV-wise, nobody cares about a bowl game. You think anyone's going to care about a second tier of football that doesn't end in a championship? No. No one's going to care about that, a second tier. And you really, because of the regionality of this, you can't set up a situation like it'd be fun if you at least said you had relegation where you could relegate the bottom five teams or whatever to a different to the second tier to play football. I mean, if you're going to do it like a pro league. But you can't do that because of the scheduling that's involved in advance. You can't do that because of the travel, but primarily because of the scheduling. So I just don't know that there is I don't know that there's a firm understanding of how many problems are headed for the NCAA because they have no leader, they have no leadership, they have no rules, they have no guidelines. It is when we say it's the Wild West, it's literally unprecedented what's happening right now.
No,
and it should have. And this really required what it required is a great structure. Before it was done like this, it required structure be put in place. They literally just said, well, let's just start it up, and then we'll figure it out. Worst thing they could have done.
Mm-hmm. Nope. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in with us on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. By the way, the Astros won last night, okay, in extra innings on a great and unbelievable base-running play by Jose Altuve in which a pop-up, he scored on a pop-up. It just doesn't happen that way. And only because the catcher just missed the ball. It was actually a perfect throw. One hop right about belt level, and old hop just missed it. Just missed it.
You could tell by Todd Callis's call that he was on the verge of going, like he wouldn't do it because Altuve, like, oh no, what a dumb decision this was. But then when the ball got away from the catcher, like, he scores, and he does all the stuff he does. But the tone was initially going to be, Altuve out at home. What is this? I don't know. And then Jeff Blum would have to try to explain in a way that didn't crush Altuve. And Altuve knew. We played. He's like,
that was an aggressive move by Altuve.
It was a dumb play that turned out great.
Yeah, so he got away with one. That's all.
Why does Jose Altuve on the bases is just so unbelievably bad?
He's a kamikaze.
It is just so unbelievably
bad. He said it
bad.
Himself. Oh, not a great
play. I just felt like I had to do it. I made my mind up before the pitch was even thrown. He's like,
words.
I was going to go. Yeah.
All right, 713-780-3776. Will Anderson had a quote yesterday. We'll hear from him about NIL. He had a quote about NIL. We'll have that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. 713-780-3776 is the number. Right now, how about some tickets for people they could win?
Yeah, Michelob Ultra is hooking you up for it. Now, there's not a lot of time, and there's not going to be a lot of opportunities. So what I want you to pay careful attention to is I want you to know exactly the opportunities that you have and know where to go when it comes to having a chance to win these World Cup tickets. Michelob Ultra is giving you a chance to show up at one of these events, compete in an interactive soccer shootout game. The winner's going to go home with a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Here are your chances. On Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m., Ojos Locos in Memorial. On Thursday, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Edo, Rodeo Goat. And by the way, the boys are going to be out there broadcasting. Then on Friday, two different locations, both from 5 to 8 p.m., Christian's Tailgate in White Oak. A lot of you are going to be out there anyway. Stop in. And then Papa's on the Lake in Montgomery, 5 to 8 p.m. And the only spot on Sunday is 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Play for the chance to witness history because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10. You're listening. listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So Will Anderson is a problem. Will Anderson is a problem for his team, the other team, and his team. He can't play nice with others. He has to be very disruptive. I'm sure he was like this in kindergarten, right? He was disruptive.
Well, you know, he was a problem.
He was a problem for his teachers. But he also Nick Saban was talking about, and for whatever reason, they put Will Anderson up there talking about playing as an 18-year-old versus playing as a 24-year-old. And then they put Will Anderson's body types up there when he was 18 and then when he was at 24.
Mm-hmm.
And it's night and day. It's like, holy crap, look at the... Of course, when you turn pro, although every major college has wonderful weight rooms now anyway.
Tremendous weight rooms.
And, you know... But the you know, these kids, they're just studying, they don't have time to work out.
Yeah, time.
Yeah, they just don't have time. Although your nutrition is better in the pros, everything is better in the pros, right? And the ability and the time that you're able to put in. But Will Anderson was asked about NIL, and here is what Will Anderson had to say about NIL and how it changed his life.
Man, it changed my life. It changed me and my family for real. It gave us like, it kind of, you know what? I would say it kind of gives you an early start to when you get to the league. I would say that, like, just knowing how to manage your money.
Okay.
And do right by your money.
Right, right.
And just what all comes with it, like financial advisors and all that type of stuff.
Right.
Taxes, I think that's one of the biggest ones for real. Because I ain't never, when I had NIL, they started talking about taxes and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
I barely wanted to do my schoolwork, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was fun though, man. I was driving a Porsche, my last.
Woo-wee.
What were you driving? I was driving a red Cayenne GTS twin turbo coupe.
Mm.
Oh, you got to
must be nice.
He's on a boat fishing with Randy Moss and someone else. So,
is that who it is?
Yeah, I was talking about yesterday with Sean. Like, the first 30 seconds is all the things people say NIL is great for. Like, look, it can change a kid's life. The family can get out of a tough situation. Even teach them some responsibility. And if they cut it there, if that's Will Anderson talking about how great NIL is, that's the clip you need. And then he's like, yeah, but that car, too. That car was nice. That car I got was nice, too. And they're like, oh, come on, Will.
That red Porsche.
Yeah. He's like, come on, Will. The first 30 seconds is what we're looking for.
It does change. It's, you know what? And at the major college level, it's to me, the players deserve a piece of that pie. The coaches aren't the only ones that are supposed to make $10 million a year. They got so greedy, and for those players to be sitting there not getting a piece of all of that, the hundreds of thousands of people in stadiums all across the country. Mm-hmm. It's just they needed to get. Now, should it have been implemented different? Should the NCAA had some rules that you know, should it be the Wild West? Absolutely not. But I wholeheartedly believe that players should get a piece of that pie. It ruined my college. It ruined your college football. A record attendance last year for college football. Record attendance. And you can't tell me ESPN, those big games are on CBS and ESPN. Yeah, they're really hurting now.
That is an off-season discussion, how it's ruining the sport.
Yeah.
Once the games begin,
yeah,
people
it does
stop
change.
Caring. Yeah, the games true. Are on, and we just
I think there's. I think the damage is going to be, like I say, at the lower level. It'll rot from inside, but really be more of a lower level. Like, it's going to have lower level. It's going to be things like players you have more entitled players. It's a real problem with high school right now because agents are getting into high school. And Alabama, for example.
Well, high schools have NIL now.
They have major issues right now with their general manager came out, Courtney Morgan. He's one of the highest paid. He just came out and said, listen, we're not – like they're canceling official visits now because they can't come to terms before an official visit. They want like, what's your money before we even come out there? What's your money look like?
Somebody
like you don't want to see the university. Like, no, we need a number.
Somebody who hates Colorado or Dion put out a tweet. Said Dion quote said, "No freshmen are getting any NIL money here, but not until they're soft. But they don't deserve it." And then it, underneath on X, it said, "This is not true. Dion never said this." So
people just lie.
Isn't that crazy
on Twitter? Can we please make Twitter where your face, you have to literally have an identification identifying you to every account so that some of that stuff would stop?
And your phone number and your bank account.
Your address.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
But if you literally had to actually verify your identity, then maybe people wouldn't just openly lie, because that stuff will spread now. Somebody's going to use that as real information.
Right. Let's get Larry in here. He wants to talk about this Sorsby thing. What do you say, Larry?
Yeah, before I make a comment about Texas Tech, you guys are ignoring one of the best Stanley Cup finals in the last 20 years. Just an incredible series. If you're a casual hockey fan, you need to be watching these games.
Well, you got the game tonight.
As far as Texas Tech goes, I'm sure Josh Pate would have a strong opinion about what's going on over there.
Mm.
I can imagine a scenario where, let's say, Texas Tech is leading by a comfortable margin at the end of a game. So the standard practice, just run out the clock, run the ball, right? If he throws a pass, like, you know, with 2 or 3 minutes to go, and he's intercepted, you can imagine on social media people are going to be saying, well, he must have bet that he'd be throwing an interception in the game, or he may have bet on himself to throw a certain number of touchdowns, and so why is he throwing the ball when he should be running out the clock? So, you know, there are going to be people, because people do it now, even before this whole Texas Tech deal, when there's a player fumbling the football, there's some people who have a bet on the game, and they're going to say, oh, this guy must have bet on the game. That's why he fumbled the football.
Yeah, no, well, you're absolutely right. There's going to be the credibility issue is going to be there for Sorsby. Absolutely. Everything he does. And rightfully so. There should be everything he does should be scrutinized, because you can't. I don't know that you can trust him. A kid that is betting, as addicted to betting as he was, do we really think that this month or however long he spent, it's over for him now? It's just, he's fine now. No,
I don't think he's fine. I don't know how he controls it for the rest of his college football career. But this is a guy known, even though he failed to recollect, known to bet on the unders for his own team. Mm-hmm. So anyone who wants, without any evidence, to make those claims, in some ways they're justified, that he can't be trusted to be looking out for the best interest of his team, even when he's playing. His excuse would be, hey, I wasn't playing at the time. But he did get into games at Indiana. There are clips of him playing at Indiana. So I don't know how.
How much did he bet on Cincinnati games?
I don't know how much.
We heard was Indiana.
It wasn't. Did they say Cincinnati games?
Cincinnati
games. That's all I saw was Indiana.
Indiana is all I saw. So maybe he did curtail it when he was a starter.
He did bet at Cincinnati, but I don't believe there has been any evidence to say that he bet on Cincinnati Bearcats football.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as far as the hockey goes, it's 2-1.
Yeah, it's a remarkable series, because you have they all been 5-4 games? Is that what I'm remembering? I think they've all been one score,
4-3. There was a 4-3 in there.
Yeah.
We had a 4-0 deficit that turned into a 4-4 tie, and then Vegas wound up winning after blowing a 4-goal lead. So if you care about hockey in any way, you're getting a great series. I just don't know that Carolina and Vegas are getting the people going as far as interest. Do we know anyone on Toronto? Vegas or Carolina team? I know Mitch Marner is on the team. Mitch Marner's on the team.
Played U of H's hockey team.
No, he did not.
In the Fertitta.
You're making that up. They don't have a hockey team.
What?
You're making all of that up for whatever reason.
He played for U of A.
Of all the teams you could pick, you could have picked like Minnesota or North Dakota and gotten away with it, maybe.
That's part of the comedy of it.
Yeah.
But I just put him in U of H.
But I know him because he's a Toronto native, and he played, or he's from the area, Ontario, and he played for the Maple Leafs, and they kind of ran him out of town because that's a place desperate for a winner. They like doxed him. So
what?
So he got,
they doxed him.
So he got out of there because of the hockey craziness that is in that area. And then he left, and now he's back in a Stanley Cup final with Vegas.
So how about the Hurricanes scoring in the third period? Last game, they had 4 goals to tie it up. Mm-hmm. The game before, they had 3 goals in the third to tie it up.
That's right. I know that's right, John.
They tied 2 games up that they were down and with 3 goals and 4 goals in the third period. Holy
mm-hmm.
crap.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Golden Knights. Yeah, I don't know that. Listen, it would have been a great. I think it would have been a really good story if Montreal was here.
Yeah,
to
clean up the curse. They were the last team, last Canadian team to win in '93. And
Vegas versus Raleigh. I don't know that really.
And these two franchises slaps. Have been good.
Yeah,
competitive franchises over the last 5-6 years. We know Vegas,
Tampa, Florida. Vegas and Carolina.
And then there's Edmonton, who is a classic team but can't get over the hump.
No.
Mitch Marner, here's a headline or a little snippet from an article by the Hockey News. Death threats, doxing, and dealing with being the scapegoat for a decade's worth of failure when he was a Toronto Maple Leaf. So he got the hell out of there.
Good Lord.
And
went to go play for the Vegas Knights, and now he's got a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
You know what I watched yesterday on the plane? The Jamie Vardy?
Jamie Vardy.
Did you see that? Yeah. Holy crap. What a story.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it on Netflix, The Untold Story, it is awesome.
Untold stories are good.
And then
did you watch the French team?
I'm halfway through it. Okay. But the other one about...
The manager's a prick.
Yeah, he is. The other one about... the guy from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Vinny Jones. A professional.
That was great too.
Soccer player.
So we just first time we saw him was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and it was a great character.
Yeah,
I mean, like, man, this, and I had heard he was a tough guy in soccer. I didn't know the extent of it until I watched this doc. I'm like, holy crap, he was beyond Draymond because he didn't play always at the highest level, although he did. I mean, he did have some matches. This guy was. Did you see some of the stuff they let go on without even pulling cards on you? It was brutal. You used to be able. It was like watching. It was like the difference between the NBA in the 80s and soccer in the 80s or 90s or whatever. They would let stuff go on that didn't even get yellow cards.
Jamie Vardy too. There were a lot of tackles that were like, what?
Yeah, Jamie Vardy. That's his story beyond all the things he went through. As far as off the field, that story could never happen here because in this country, first of all, we don't have as many lower divisions, but it's pay for play. Like Jamie Vardy went from playing like pretty much rec league soccer to rising up the ranks to become one of the best strikers in the world. That ain't happening here. We just have a very different system of trying to find talent. Landon Donovan was talking to Rich Eisen about how his goal is to flip what we do here because we're not developing youth players. But Vinny Jones, I know Wimbledon's not a Premier League team anymore, but they were. He played at the top level of English football. Like he played at Chelsea, Sheffield United back when he played was at the top level. So he went from playing at the top of the sport to becoming a Hollywood actor. I mean, we have that kind of with Nnamdi Asamoah. Like he's done that kind of, but
he was doing stage acting.
But he's also in a new movie that's coming. I forgot what the title is. Yeah, but Vinnie Jones, I can't think of many.
It was
people.
Just his personality.
Don't we have any other athletes that
like
are
Marshawn?
Marshawn's done but he's stuff, not but, he's, as, but you just
but
see
he
Marshawn
doesn't act as much as Vinnie Jones.
No, you
does.
See Marshawn. Vinnie was a hard man in everything he was.
Yeah.
But Vinnie Jones had a really interesting personality as well. And it was constantly a redemption. Like, you thought a redemption. Like, I just decided I want to go out and play football. I was not able to play football the way that I wanted. And then I went out and they show him scoring a goal, and you think, oh, now he gets to play. And then right back at it.
Right
back at the nasty stuff.
Yeah. Nnamdi's in that show with Jessica
Top
Chastain.
Boy.
No. No, Jessica Chastain, the savant.
He wins
that show that got pulled because of the Charlie Kirk shooting. It was about it was supposed to come out, and then they Apple TV pulled it because of some of the nature of the show and how it kind of coincided with what happened to Charlie Kirk.
Oh, really?
He plays Jessica Chastain's husband in the show.
Oh, so he's got kind of a lead role.
He's got a lead role in it. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So they say it's premiering in July. And he'll play her husband, so he'll have a big role.
I'm sure there are some other athletes, maybe not as high performing.
Well, it started with Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Brown, and you had Kirk, you had the Rifleman, Chuck Connor.
Yeah.
He's a basketball player who became a Western, did Western stuff.
Namdi must have a – Jessica Chastain must like him.
First baseman of the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he played two – he was also – Hold on. I thought he was a basketball player, too.
I thought he played for the Dodgers.
NBA and Major League Baseball.
He did? Oh, wow. Pretty talented that dude.
Of course, maybe it was easier to play in both back then, but I don't know. But he was one of only 13 athletes in the history of American professional sports to have played in both the NBA and MLB. That's crazy. Carl Weathers was
he played for the Raiders.
Yeah. And you had,
Rick Fox.
Rick Fox, but you also had the guy from, remember, who was the guy that was in, God dog it, that was for the Rams? Not only Merlin Olsen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Jack Youngblood. Olsen.
No, it wasn't Jack Youngblood. No, you know who I'm talking about.
It was the other one, yeah.
Because he was a major,
yeah.
He was a star in that show.
Yeah, Fred.
Fred something, yeah.
Yeah. Fred.
Armiston.
No.
Stop just saying, God. Fred Armiston. The SNL guy?
What?
No, wait, it wasn't
Portlandia, him. Fred Armiston?
Yeah.
That guy?
Fred Dreyer. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Fred.
Yeah.
What about Fred Williamson?
Fred Williamson, yeah.
He played, he was in, maybe you call it black exploitation films.
I didn't know he was a football player.
There's one movie that just came up that was in 1974 that I won't say.
No, right.
It's Boss Something that I won't say. But he, Hell Up in Harlem, Black Caesar.
Oh, wow. That name.
He had to do with a spear, one of his...
That's one. He was also in From Dusk Till Dawn. But just look for 1974 Boss Bleep. Yeah, no. Fred Williamson.
All right, we got a break. We got to talk. Speaking of East, let's talk about East River 9. I don't know why we were talking about East anything, but East River 9 is a place where, and here's why, I don't know, I guess the East River 9 has the best view. It's just east of downtown, and it has the best view that you're going to see in the city of downtown. Who was it? Bun B went and took pictures there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Bun B go?
He did. I had them go out there. It was my recommendation. It was for a DASPIT. NIL. I said, you know where you guys need to go? Is we need to go to the backdrop of East River 9 because they got an incredible shot.
It's the best view.
An incredible shot, and that's where they shot it.
It's the best view. It really is. I love beautiful downtowns, and this is as good as it gets in the city of Houston, that view there. And here's the thing, too, is it's really cool because at night you see you got lights where when you're playing golf, and the ball travels through the night air and into the greens, and it's just beautiful. Just beautiful. If you're looking for, so listen, they got lights, they got golf, they've got pickleball, they got a bar and restaurant, they've got a sport, they got all the sports you could possibly want. It is a great place to go get your golf on, go get to the driving range. You just want to hit balls, you could do that as well, and see the balls going into the, when you hit a nice, beautiful shot with maybe a little bit of draw on it, to see that ball dropping with the backdrop of downtown, it's awesome. It's where you can get a corporate membership as well. EastRiver9.com. You want to play some golf at night or just go and get your drink and your food and your sports on EastRiver9.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.